땡땡땡 땡땡땡 내가 땡땡
So Lama Tsongkhapa, in his very opening lines of the Great Exposition of Tantra, he said that simply through understanding the concept of dependent origination, you then try to open your eyes and then see the reality by yourself. Thereby, you gain such a confidence in yourself that no other perverted views can stray you away. And then the kind of the tradition that is followed in Nalanda University is that one should employ one wisdom, use your wisdom to the best possible, and that too by way of trying to generate the wisdom which understands impermanence, and a wisdom which understands the selflessness or emptiness. That these wisdoms should complement the skillful means side of bodhicitta and so forth. So as such, this wisdom, wisdom which understands the reality of emptiness and dependent origination, should be something which is indispensably required for someone in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. So as such, it is very important to take a keen interest in upgrading or developing this wisdom of emptiness. So that should be the very foundation upon which all your faith in Buddhism should arise. So otherwise, if you say that, oh, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha simply because my teacher instructs me to do that, so actually these are not the proper ways of doing. So how can one possibly do that in a proper way? So it's by depending by way of dependence on cultivating this wisdom of selflessness, which understands the reality, and thereby seeing the feasibility of all these three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and thereby you can take refuge in them. These points, then as Lama Tsongkhapa said in the the opening lines of the Great Exposition on Tantra, that you open your eyes by understanding the concept of dependent origination, that you cannot be strayed or you cannot be wavered by any other perverted wisdom. So that is actually the underlying reason for Lama Tsongkhapa saying all these things is, as I said earlier, that we should derive the wisdom of emptiness or selflessness in order to generate firm faith in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And specifically those great masters like Nagarjuna and Aryadeva, also Chandrakirti, and Pavaviveka, Shantideva, Chandrakshita. So if you look at the compositions or the writings of these great masters, they constantly employ the method or the technique of logic and reasoning, constantly raising rhetorical questions and then giving the proper answers. So that is the kind of the fashion, that is the kind of style that they adopt to establish the firm faith in the objects of refuge and these things. So actually these should be the proper way and very powerful and effective for one's generation of a very firm conviction in the Dharma. And yet at the same time, it is very important that whatever kind of dialectical disputations and argumentations that you carry on, then whatever the answers that you arrive at, they must be able to implement it, they must be able to integrate within one's practice, within one's mental continuum, daily practice. And Lama Tsongkhapa says that some people, they are actually lacking the pith instructions, or they are lacking the instructions to practice despite having enormous extensive learnings. So it is, Lama Tsongkhapa but then summarizes by saying that all these flaws, they are because of that person's inability to actually take these learnings, the extensive learnings that he had already undergone, into as a kind of pit instructions to apply that in one's practice. So this, the your skill in actually being able to implement all whatever you have learned and whatever conclusions that you have arrived at, they should be that you should be able to implement these in your practice, in a practical life and practice. So all those, the enormous amount of literatures that the Buddha has taught, 84,000 canons and so are the literatures. So the content matter of all these different literature composed by the Buddha, they are all summarized, they are put in a summary form by Lama Tsongkhapa in this text, the middle-length Lamrim. So then, with regard to the causality, so here Lama Tsongkhapa speaks about the general general perspectives, general concepts of the effects or the fruits of the respective karmas, and then in a most specific way, he's spoke about the fully ripe and the positive qualities and their functions, excellent lifespan. So if somebody engages in a virtuous action, the kind of the ripening results would be eightfold. Excellent lifespan, excellent complexion, excellent extraction, excellent power, respectable words, renowned as being very powerful, being male, having strength. So among the fully ripe and positive qualities, the eight qualities, there's one, the seventh one is called being male. So the reason why this is mentioned is that at that time of the society at that time, so they're actually the males, they actually get the more privilege. So as such, nowadays, there's much more kind of the males and females, they receive the same kind of prestige and privileges and these things. As such, it is not too important to specify this point, being male, as one of the characteristics of the fully ripe and positive qualities. So the Buddha Shakyamuni, on one hand, he is actually trying to comply with the environmental or the societal situation, thereby trying to make a kind of little bit distinction between the males and females. And yet, deep down, he is actually very much unbiased in ways of giving equal opportunity and privileges to the males and the females. Especially in Tantra. So on top of being treating the males and females as equal, and there's a mention of special emphasis on how to specially respect the females. And then actually that friend, he or she noticed in Shantideva's text, Guided the Bodhisattva's Way, which speaks about a kind of pointing to the faults of females, and that person was actually saying that Shantideva was trying to be very biased and disparaging the females, but in actuality, At that time, Shantideva was the direct disciples to whom that teaching was given were actually the males and the monks. So it is because of this that for the monks to be kind of secluded or be remain clean from the females, so the Shantideva was kind of started pointing to the faults of the females, and not that he's actually totally against the females. And rather, if it is the case that Shantideva, the disciples would be the females, he would have then very much actively pointing to the faults of the males.